The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. Listeners, as always, great to have you with me. And we have Father Shannon Bouquet here with us again one more time. And he's obviously somebody who many of you contact me and say how great it is to listen to him and how amazing this man is and all the things he's done. Father Shannon Bouquet, of course, is the president of Human Life International. He is a leading expert on the international pro-life, pro-family movement. And who better to get to talk with us about the unbelievable changes that have happened across the world as a result of the June 24th decision from the Supreme Court of the United States. Wonderful, wonderful news. Father Bouquet, wonderful to have you with us. And wow, what a month so far, huh? Unbelievable.
Absolutely, Molly. It's great to be with you and your audience once again. And no, it is truly a remarkable moment of time. And I think that any of us and many who came before us, you know, I think of the great people and personalities like HLI's founder, Father Marx, and Nellie Gray, the founder of the March for Life, Joe Scheidler up in Chicago, with, you know, and so many others we can name that, you know, that have been worked for decades, you know, to advance and to push this conversation and to bring us to this moment. We owe them the gratitude, but we owe so many others that followed them, you know, the gratitude for the yeoman's work and the challenges they faced and the sacrifices they made and to move the conversation not only on the state level, but to get that from the state, like in Mississippi, all the way up to the Supreme Court. And here we are. And we knew when the leak came out from Alito's position and majority opinion that, you know, it seemed that we were going to get there, but we were all holding our breath until that final moment. And when that final moment came, we were so grateful for the opportunity, I would say, that now has been put back into our hands. And I say opportunity, Molly, because we all know that obviously with the Supreme Court's decision in overturning Roe and Casey, that abortion did not come to an end in the United States. It's thrown back to the states themselves, as Alito points out, which means our battle and our fights, fight for life now is taken to the local level, community level, the state level, to really push this conversation. So it's a great moment of time, Molly, and I know that many maybe never thought we would be here, but again, because of so many people working tirelessly on every level, politically, you know, on the social level, cultural level, within the churches, you know, within our local communities, we got here. So praise be God. And now it's up to us to take this moment and to move it forward.
You're absolutely right, Father, because one of the things that I know which would really frustrate me in the many years that I've been working, and I'm sure with you as well, you know, we would try to get things passed in statewide. And there was this constant little niggling sort of drip that would go on behind the scenes. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that, because it's just going to go up. You know, it'll go to the federal courts and it'll be overturned. Go to the federal courts and it'll be overturned. And that's what was happening. I mean, I look at here in Ohio, we immediately, praise God for our Attorney General here, Dave Yost. What an amazing man. He was ready to go within minutes of the decision coming down. He had already filed to lift the injunction from the federal injunction on the heartbeat bill, which has made abortion illegal for the most part in Ohio. From the moment a heartbeat is detected, it is illegal to abort that child. Now, we are going to push for that, a stronger one, that at all times, from the moment of conception, we will fight this and we will get a law passed that will stop all abortions. However, you know, you looked at that and, I look now at how angry, absolutely like this vitriol just spewing out of the other side's mouth about this decision, which really does say the decision was huge, because even though many people are saying, oh, well, that, you know, you're still going to have to fight it there. You're still going to have to fight it at the states, you know, at the state level and on the ground. It's okay. This decision was huge because for so long, the other side has had everything that they wanted. It's
absolutely,
it's been amazing to see this.
Absolutely. Well, in the article I wrote, since that one that you addressed originally, when the case and the Supreme Court's decision came down, was, you know, it was almost as if that this was the inevitability. You know, whereas we were told, you know, and this was the rhetoric of the pro-abortion industry, that, you know, it's legal now. You're never going to change it. You know, it's the pinnacle of the sexual revolution to be able to abort and a woman to have her choice and the rights and so forth, all the language we're familiar with. And really, it seemed that it was inevitable. I mean, it just seemed that we were not going to overcome that hurdle. And with this, the SCOTUS decision showed is that, you know, and what Dobbs has given to us is that it is now shown that it is, nothing is inevitable. Mm-hmm. And we can see this in the international conversation. You know, when you look at Poland in 1993, you know, changing its constitution and even getting stronger with each passing year, Hungary in 2011. So we have seen countries, you know, change their direction, and obviously the imposition in Poland and the imposition that occurred in Hungary, you know, and just like here, this was imposed on us by the court itself, you know, acting as if it were a legislative branch. And so we all thought, you know, many of us kind of thought and maybe have felt at a given moment, you know, will the law change? Well, now that the law, you know, has been over, this bad, egregious law has been overturned, this is very momentous. And what I would say is, similar in a very profound way, think of the heartbeat law in Texas that the court allowed to continue. Every day that law was in act, lives were being saved. Mm-hmm. Children were being saved from the violence of abortion. Mothers were being saved from the lifetime of regret. Families were being protected. Our society was better for it. And now, because of this overturning of Roe and Casey, how many lives every day in the United States, because of the pro-life legislation and laws in many of the states, babies are being saved, families and so forth are all being saved. This is very, very impactful. And you're absolutely right, Molly. We never want to, you know, underestimate what this decision of the court has done in the United States of America. And just for our audience, I mean, just to remember that we're talking thousands of little boys and girls daily in the United States prior to the decision by the court overturning Roe and Casey died every day in the violence of abortion. And so now, as a result of this, we have, 26 states, the latest number I saw, where pro-life laws are now in impact, and so lives are being saved. And just as a side note, I think we should be aware that we should expect the legal battle that we're now, I mean, in my own home state of Louisiana, you know, there's now a legal battle over the trigger law. You know, we knew this was going to happen. We anticipated a lot of this, and we should not be disappointed or discouraged by what the other side is going to do. They're not going to just roll over. I mean, this was really their golden calf. It is what they idolize. It's what they worship. This is their rhetoric, a narrative, agenda. And it's not just going to go away because the court said it's now, that Casey and Roe are gone. They're going to keep fighting that fight. So it's a both and, Molly. We are grateful for the overturning. And we know its impact. We know it's a tremendous gift to us. And at the same time, we know that we have so much more yet to do to change hearts and minds.
Internationally, Father Bouquet, what do you think, how do you think this is going to impact? You deal around the world. You've visited, you've been to 90 different countries. You see this up close and personal. You've seen the impact of the Roe v. Wade decision. What do you think is going to happen now?
Well, I'll just share from my perspective with our directors and our affiliates in the various countries. The first thing that occurred, moment that the decision of the court was publicized, email after email came forward from the directors and the affiliates, one, praising God for the decision and realizing that lives are going to be saved. Two, is we all know that the international state policy of, sadly, of the United States, dependent on the president in office, has a tremendous impact on the global community. So through USAID, through the United Nations and its various affiliates and agencies, contraception, abortion, i.e. reproductive health, is promulgated and imposed in many parts of the world. And so they see this, as I see it, as this is a moment, again, to say that nothing is inevitable. We can change policies. We can change laws. We can change our approach. And this is what they see. Because I'm going to give you an example, Molly. In Uganda, which has one of the youngest populations that we in Africa and maybe even in the world, depends on the stats that you're looking at. But there you will see every group that's promoting population control, again, i.e. contraception, abortion, sterilization, smaller families, everywhere. You will see billboard after billboard with USAID on it. You'll see UN. You'll see many other country agencies at work there, all pushing to diminish the size of the families and so-called to give rights to women for abortion and contraception. So I would say, even though Roe and Casey do not directly, you know, have an immediate impact on state policy, I believe they will, because so many people working in our great cause, in our great movement, are working on that level of international law, international policy. I will tell you, at the American Organization of States that we just participated in back in June, and very sadly, the Vice President of the United States gave a presentation, you know, pushing again the agenda, pushing the population control, contraception, abortion. I can tell you what these international bodies are doing. But I will also say, Molly, that there are many people like you and me and many other great pro-life warriors fighting back. And this decision now of the court helps us. It now emboldens us. It strengthens us. It reaffirms our movement and that we are making a difference. And in my column, I quote a number of international personalities. They're scared, and they should be, because they know the impact of this decision, because the great lie that they have been pushing for years, it'll never change. You're never going to overturn it. It is in the law. It is set in stone, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? Their little rock got broken, and now they know the writing on the wall. And this is what our international family sees. They see that they can fight and they can't overcome this. And I'm very encouraged by it and very, as you can tell, very passionate about it. And I'm looking forward to what is going to come forward. The big challenge, Molly, is, as we know, the Hyde Amendment is not being followed and adhered to. This is one of our challenges. And this came out recently again, a challenge toward the Biden administration that completely ignores the Hyde Amendment. And we also are seeing where the people are now raising questions. Let me just use an example. Is if I'm in a state in the United States that has pro-life law, there is no abortion allowed in the state. All right. So now the state, you know, has a question. You know, do we want any of our federal funding, our taxes that are coming from the state to the federal level, to be used to promote abortion around the world? We as a state don't believe in this. We don't promote it. We don't want it. So we also don't want this being done around the world. So this is going to raise this conversation.
You know, and it's the other part of it that I see as a challenge, and I'm talking about this from a personal perspective here in Ohio. Father Bouquet, I see that we have got a huge problem, and it's probably addressing, it's probably flushed it out into the, you know, like the cockroaches coming out at, you know, when you turn the lights on, you're seeing them scurrying everywhere. But we see our bureaucracy in Ohio, certainly in, not overall, but there's enough of it that's happening, ignoring the fact that we have a law now in Ohio that says no abortion if a baby's heart is beating. And a baby's heart is beating from the time from 4 to 6 weeks, which before probably even a woman, most times before a woman even knows she's pregnant. So you see, right. You know that that's going to happen. But we are seeing that, for example, our health department, it is absolutely ripe with bureaucrats in there that are pro-aborts, and they are not doing their job. So this is going to be another challenge, and I'm sure from the federal level you're going to see the same thing. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the thing isn't it the hypocrisy of it all.
Yeah.
Because you know, if we were to take the approach right in the opposite direction, then we would say, you're not following the law. You're not adhering to the law. It's the law. Now all of a sudden, when the law doesn't work in their favor, they want to do away with the law. They want to ignore the law. But again, this is not something that we're unfamiliar with. We've seen,
exactly.
Sadly, very progressive administrations ignore the law, and no one holds them accountable. The challenge really is going to fall to the AGs of each of the states with the pro-life laws, and that is to not only admonish such people, but to hold them accountable to the law. And, you know, and this is something that's going to, it's going to be the big challenge, you know, because it's going to take a lot of effort, a tremendous commitment from our pro-life legislators and those in the legal profession and the, attorney general's offices and so forth. You know, we have to be willing to fight it and to stay firm in our resolve to make the law followed at every level. I mean, back in Louisiana, we have a challenge to the trigger law, and we saw the very, you know, progressive agendas, you know, up in the northern part of the state, you know, try to get something heard in New Orleans because they found a liberal justice, you know, to hear their cry and so forth and so on. Well, it's been called out and it's been, yep. Again, the challenge. We have to keep fighting the fight, and that's the part that we have to understand. And that we have to continue, that we can't just, say, okay, you know, now that we have this, we can lessen our energy. No, we have to turn up the heat. We have to keep fighting that fight. And the sad thing is, Molly, back to the hypocrisy of this Biden administration is the domestic terrorism that is happening, that, you know, and we have all condemned as pro-lifers any assault, physical or violence done to anyone on the other side of the aisle. We've had incidences where people have done great harm, you know, to other people, abortionists and other promoters of abortion. And all of us in our movement, you know, have denounced such actions. We do not promote violence. We do not promote this in any regard. But here we have violence, not only in rhetoric, violent words, which are words, but now actions. And we've seen buildings burned. Our pregnancy care centers are in danger. We have had dioceses and pro-life offices around the country vandalized. And yes, we can paint a wall. We can take the graffiti off of it. But the burning of buildings, these are crimes. Mm-hmm. And they need to be held. And the federal government, which has a responsibility to all citizens, is failing.
Exactly.
And this is hypocrisy. And we need to demand that these atrocities be called out.
Absolutely.
And this is something that the world is looking at. I mean, go back to the international. They're looking. They're paying attention. I've said this before in many interviews. In the Philippines, they say when the United States sneezes, the Philippines says, God bless you. Mm-hmm. So they're watching.
That's right.
Everyone
That's
is
right.
seeing what we will do here. And let's be honest, Poland is really set the charge here. They have really shown us that you have to look at every component and keep working at it diligently working at it, and so should we. But the world is looking, and I will tell you, Molly, it's very frightening to see what the other side of the aisle is doing. And how, I mean, I've expected them to fight. I expected the rhetoric and the narrative and the social media and the liberal media to come to their fight and charge and defense. But to see the media turn a blind eye to bombing with Molotov cocktails, the burning of buildings.
Absolutely.
This is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
This is not a nation. We're a nation where people can exercise disagreement, but we do it with respect. We do it in a proper manner, and we do not do these kinds of things. This is very telling, Molly, of a deeper problem in our country.
Absolutely.
And I go back to Mother Teresa. You know, Mother Teresa said a nation that, you know, and I'll paraphrase, but that kills their children, you know, is destined for failure.
Yeah.
We better wake up.
Absolutely.
This is a wake up call, Molly. I see it as a rally call.
I 100% agree with you. This morning when I was preparing for our interview, I was going through some of the different, you know, things that are happening around the country. And there was a reporter, I think it was from the Daily Wire or the Daily News or Daily, one of those ones, who had covered the Women's March. And one of the women was screaming, and he's got it on video on his Twitter feed. She was screaming out, "We love killing babies. We love killing babies." I mean, can you imagine, Father, if we had done something like that? We love killing abortionists. I mean, goodness gracious me.
Right.
It is so it is out of control.
It is. It is, Molly. But think of the deep report, what she said is the reality.
It's the reality.
We are killing children.
Yep.
Killing children.
They're not saying a clump of cells. They're not saying a clump of cells anymore. They're saying we love killing babies.
Right. So basically all this is bringing all of it to the surface. Everything is coming out into the light. You know, we're seeing exactly what people believe, you know, very scandalously, you know, we have issues, you know, within the Christian fold, within the church itself, where we have scandalous behavior, attitudes, all this we've known, all of it is now in the light, completely unhidden. And these kinds of comments I've seen, you know, so think about this, what this says, that not only do we want to have the right to kill a child, we want to celebrate it. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're celebrating the fact that they can kill an unborn child, a defenseless child. And so this is, think what it says about this nation.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, this is what's so concerning to me, you know, in a nation that would at least in some way say that it's a Christian nation. It believes in God. Well, if we believe in God, then what is the great commandment? Do not kill.
That's right. That's right.
Do not kill.
Yeah.
And yet we have people who claim to be followers of God,
Jesus Christ,
and followers of the teachings of Jesus Christ,
yeah,
and they believe in the murder of a child.
Exactly. There could be nothing more. I mean, that's what Jesus said. What you do to the least of these little ones, you do it unto me. I mean,
amen.
That is exactly what we're dealing with. And you know what, Father? I'm going to be very unpopular for saying this, but it's about time that every single Christian church in America needs to say anybody who supports this is no longer allowed to receive the sacraments, is no longer allowed to, you know, to call themselves whatever they might be calling themselves, because that is 100% against what Jesus taught us. 100%.
Exactly. And it there is no justification.
Nope. Nothing.
At all.
Nothing.
None.
Nothing.
Does not exist. And so, Molly, I'm with you, and I find it very scandalous that, you know, from within the Catholic Church to see people who claim
to be Nancy
Catholic,
Pelosi and the,
you know,
and
promoting
and,
themselves out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, it's and I mean I've written on it. I've called out the situation, and it's
just unbelievable. We had Father Altman here for our convention this year, and my goodness, did he give a socket to everybody? he called the hierarchy monsters and mitres. And to be quite honest with you, when you see this that's happening right now, he was right on. And by that, when he did that, it was before all of this happened, but he was dealing with the fallout in his own parish from the abortion issues, from the, so, you know, there's something wrong with him if he doesn't call it out and he doesn't.
Well, exactly. I'm sorry, but there's a great article today that came out on Catholic Thing that I actually sent to my staff, and it's on the issue of canon law. So it's a very good article, and it's very brief, but it just talks about, and what Father Altman was talking about, you know, the question is it pastoral to follow the canon law? In other words, 915 here, we're talking about, people. And so the answer, of course, yes, it is. But you're having a mixed verbiage, narrative.
Yeah.
And this causes even greater confusion.
Absolutely.
Because let's put it this way. Either you're pregnant or you're not.
Exactly.
There's not an in-between here. Yeah. Either the person is in error or they're not in error.
Yeah.
And as we know with Archbishop Cardinal Leon, he has attempted to correct the error. He has done his diligence in addressing the error.
Absolutely.
He's reached out numerous. We all know the story. We know the interviews. We know the notification. And yet this person, Ms. Pelosi, continues
to push strident. Oh,
right.
My goodness. I got to get
and
you
goes
back.
Out of her way.
Yeah.
Out of her way. That causes greater scandal.
That's exactly
so
right.
It really does. What the article talks about is that the duty of pastors, of our shepherds, to address such
issues.
Otherwise, it gives the impression, Molly, that what Ms. Pelosi is holding and advancing and supporting, not just talking about, she is dedicatedly advancing.
Advancing. And you can't say, well, I can't see her conscience. She's speaking her conscience every time she's out there. I mean, goodness gracious me, how much more do you need?
She reaches for a microphone every time she can.
Absolutely. Father, we're going to have to get you back. I'm going to try to get you back on a regular basis because I love talking with you, and so do our listeners love listening to you. So God bless
you. Thank you, Molly.
For all the work you do. God bless you lots.
Thank you. Take care. God bless.
Same to you. Bye-bye. Don't go anywhere. I will be back with you right after this very short break with another world-class, inspiring guest.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.